Hello and welcome to The Cryptid Catalog, a podcast for monster lovers young and old. Before we jump in, I want to mention some of the themes in today's story. Cryptid Catalog tries to cover stories in a kid-friendly manner, but every listener has different thresholds. So to make sure this story is suitable for your listeners, here are some things that you can expect to hear in today's story. Today's show contains unsettling monsters. If all that sounds intriguing, then sit back, get a little cozy, and come with us as we open up the Cryptid Catalog. Killian, picture this. The mountainside is on fire. Wait, no. The earth is coughing up towers of flames like geysers. You hear the bleat of a goat and look for the little fella making the sound so you can help it get away from the dangerous area. You spot its head sticking up from behind some bushes. As you walk towards the sweet creature, you spot a long emerald green snake slithering along the base of the bush. Pausing, you step back, shouting for the goat to run. Something heavy shifts its weight behind the bush, and the goat lifts up and horror grips your throat. The goat's neck is growing out of the back of a massive lion. The snake? Oh, the snake is attached to the back of the lion like a tail. Killian, what is this monster?
It's from D&D.
They are in also, yes, they are in D&D, but do you know what their names are? They were also in Onward. It's okay if you don't know.
I don't know.
It's a chimera.
Come on.
Let's open up the Cryptid Catalog and find out more. Killian, we have our good friends James and Tyne to thank for the suggestion.
Thank you, friends.
Good job. So, Killian, what do you know about the chimera?
Nothing.
Love it. It's kind of fun when you don't know any of it, because then it's like you learn a whole new thing. Do you know what part of the world the chimera comes from? No?
Our brains? Because they're in D&D.
Yes, but that's not where they first appeared.
Oh.
The chimera comes to us from Greek legends. And first appeared in Homer's The Iliad. We've talked about Homer before. I believe we've talked about The Iliad. I know we've talked about The Odyssey.
Yeah, The Odyssey was... We've only talked about The Odyssey.
Right. So that means the Chimera is joining the ranks of Sirens and Cyclops. They're all kind of in the same world. Well, today I want to start with the story. And then we can dig into the history. Does that sound good? Okay, perfect. Ready for a Greek story adapted from the Iliad?
Yeah.
Fun fact, you're probably going to read the Iliad in school. Okay. I read it in school, in high school.
Will I read the Odyssey?
Yes, I read the Odyssey in freshman year of high school. Anyway, either that or you could read it on your own just for funsies. All right, ready? This story is called Bellerophon. Bellerophon. And the Chimera.
Bellerophon.
Yeah, Bellerophon.
Say that three times fast.
Bellerophon.
It sounds like, okay, do it like this. Bellerophon.
Oh, Bellerophon.
It sounds like butterfrom.
Okay, ready?
Yeah.
The midday sun beat down on Bellerophon's back as he rode through the rugged terrain of Lycia. His mind was filled with the weight of his mission to slay the dreaded chimera that terrorized the land. King Proetus had charged him with the impossible task, offering a reward beyond measure. Yet Bellerophon knew the danger that lay ahead. As he journeyed closer to the lair of the beast, his thoughts spiraled with fear and the desire to do something grand. He was a warrior, trained in combat and skilled in ways of battle. But this was no ordinary opponent. The Chimera, a creature of legend and nightmare, was said to be a grotesque mix of a lion, goat, and serpent, a demon of ferocity and cunning. Bellerophon's grip tightened on his spear, a weapon forged for this very purpose. He could feel the weight of the responsibility settle upon him like a heavy chain. The lives of innocent villagers hung in the balance, relying on his courage and skill to rid them of this monstrous scourge. And, worst of all, he felt that the king had sent him on an impossible mission, wanting him dead and out of his hair. As he crested a hill, the valley spread out before him, and in the distance, he saw it, a shadowy silhouette against the horizon, the Chimera's lair. Smoke curled into the sky, a telltale sign of the beast's presence. Bellerophon's heart quickened, a mix of fear and determination coursing through his veins. Dismounting his steed, Pegasus, the majestic winged horse with a golden bridle, Bellerophon approached the cave with caution. Every step was deliberate, every sense alert to the slightest hint of danger. The mouth of the cave yawned before him, a dark and ominous portal into the realm of the unknown. Short bursts of flames erupted from the ground all around him, as it seemed the very earth was warning him to turn back. Entering the cave, Bellerophon's eyes adjusted to the dim light. The air was thick with the stench of sulfur and decay. He pressed forward, the sound of his footsteps echoing off the walls. Images of the Chimera's potential form haunted his mind, each part of the creature more terrifying than the last. A lion's body, complete with sharp teeth and claws. The tail of a massive serpent with piercing fangs and the ability to strangle prey. And then, the most horrifying addition, the head of a goat on the lion's back. The goat's mouth would open up and shoot a burst of flame, cooking anything that stayed too long in the Chimera's path. His hand tightened around his spear, ready to strike at a moment's notice. Suddenly, a low growl reverberated through the chamber. Bellerophon's pulse quickened as he steadied himself, eyes scanning the shadows. Then, in a flurry of movement, the Chimera emerged from the darkness, a monster if one ever existed. The lion's head roared, its eyes blazing with feral hunger. The goat's bleat was sharp and piercing, and the serpent's hiss sent shivers down Bellerophon's spine. In that moment, time seemed to slow. Bellerophon locked eyes with the beast, feeling its malevolent gaze pierce his very soul. Fear threatened to overwhelm him, but he clung to his desire for greatness. This was his moment. With a primal roar, the Chimera lunged forward, its lion's claws slashing through the air. Bellerophon dodged, rolling to the side with practiced agility. His spear found its mark, slicing through the scales and skin. The beast howled in pain, thrashing wildly. The battle raged on, each moment a test of skill and endurance. Bellerophon fought with the ferocity of a cornered lion, his mind focused only on survival and victory. Blood and sweat mingled as the struggle reached its climax. Finally, with a well-aimed strike, Bellerophon drove his spear deep into the Chimera's heart. The beast let out a final, agonized roar before collapsing to the ground. Silence descended upon the cave, broken only by the heavy breaths of the victorious warrior. As Bellerophon stood over the fallen monster, a flood of emotions washed over him. Relief, triumph, and a profound sense of accomplishment. He had faced the Chimera and emerged victorious, fulfilling his duty to King Protus and the people of Lycia. But amidst the victory, Bellerophon knew that his battle was far from over. There were always more monsters lurking in the shadows, waiting to test the courage of mortal men. And as he gazed out over the valley, he knew that wherever evil reared its head, there would be heroes like him ready to stand against it. With that thought, Bellerophon turned and made his way back through the cave, back towards the light of day. The sun was setting on the horizon, casting long shadows across the land. But in that moment, Bellerophon felt no fear. He had faced the Chimera and lived to tell the tale. A hero forged in the fires of adversity.
Take a bow, boy.
So what did you think of the story?
I liked it.
It was good, right?
And
if you enjoyed that story, look into the tale of Bellerophon. It is spelled Bellerophon. His story follows his journey from prince to would-be hero to tamer of the winged horse Pegasus to fighter of the Chimera and other monsters, and then his eventual travel to the top of Mount Olympus.
Still, I think he's like a god, so like he would have beat the Chimera no matter what.
I don't know. You'd have to read it. I'm not giving away how Bellerophon's story ends, but I will say that he is the hero who comes before the mighty Hercules. So, just off that story alone, what do we know about the Chimera?
What
do we know about the Chimera?
Sorry, I've just yawned.
Yeah.
He's scary.
Okay. How many heads does he have?
Like a lot. Like, counting the snake heads.
It's only one snake head.
Oh, I thought there were like multiple.
No, just three.
Oh, I pictured it.
Lion head, goat head.
I pictured it snake head. like a lion right here, goat head on its butt.
No.
And
no.
Like 15 snakes on.
Here, I will look up a chimera for you.
Okay.
There you go. That is a chimera.
Oh.
This is probably the best version. The Chimera in Onward does not have all that, though.
How about the Chimera in Onward? Oh, that one's cute.
That is our mouse. The Chimera in Onward looks like this.
Oh.
Do you remember her now?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go back to what we were saying.
Okay.
So it's three heads. What do you think the scariest part of the Chimera is?
The goat on its butt.
It's not on his butt. I just showed you a picture.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You think of all the... Oh, because it shoots fire.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Is that why it's the scariest?
Yeah.
I was going to say, because the goat seems to be the least of the worries, but then I remembered it breathed fire. Yeah. So let's break down some info about the Chimera. The Chimera is a combination of three different animals, a lion, a snake, and a goat, and it first appeared in Homer's epic poem, The Iliad, which is a prequel to the Odyssey. Do you know what prequel means?
No.
So sometimes...
Oh, wait. It's the thing before the story.
Correct.
Instead, the sequel is the next
Yes.
part.
So sometimes people will bring out a book or like a movie and people are like, wow, I really wish I knew how the characters ended up where they were. And so they'll make like a movie or a book or something about what happened before, like a flashback kind of. But it comes before the main story and you're right, a sequel is the second one.
Got it.
So the Chimera was a monster that was said to live in the land of Lycia, which is far to the east of Greece. The mountains that the Chimera was said to inhabit did and still does have areas of natural gas that burp up from the ground and catch fire when mixed with the oxygen of the air. So pre-natural science peoples would see these burps of flame and associate it with science. With a monster.
Chimera.
So they would see this thing that now we know has a scientific explanation.
Mm-hmm.
But they would see it and they didn't know because they didn't have the same science and technology we have now. So they'd be like, oh my God, a monster is breathing fire from the ground.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, along with fire just randomly shooting out of the ground, this area of Lycia has tar pits, which are thick spaces of black liquid asphalt that sizzle and bubble. These tar pits are sticky and can drag animals and humans down into them and preserve their bodies and bones. They are very dangerous. It's like quicksand, but like even worse. Historians hypothesize that ancient humans discovered the bones of a snake, a goat, and a lion that had either died at the same time or close enough together that their bones slid next to one another and created the skeletal outline of an image that we now know as the Chimera. There really isn't much more to the Chimera other than that they are an interesting feat of horror. The unsettling combination of multiple animals into one really ferocious beast. Chimeras have appeared in ancient iron casts, coins, vases, Greek tragedy performances.
Every vase.
Yes, exactly. all the way to movies, TV shows, and yes, you guessed it, into Dungeons and Dragons. Except in D&D, they changed the snake head to that of a red dragon, which makes it even more terrifying. So that is the chimera. It's pretty straightforward one. Would you like to meet one, a chimera? No? What about the chimera from Onward?
Yes.
She was nice.
Oh, imagine a chimera and the goat is, he's like, he's like showing his butt and he's like.
The goat is not on his butt.
Okay, I'll stop. And the goat's like right here.
Uh-huh.
He's like, whoa. He's like, okay, bye.
Anyway, which head would you look at first if you saw all of them?
Goat head.
But here's the thing. Based on the drawings we saw, it seems that the lion's head kind of blocks everybody else's head.
Big head.
Yeah. Let's thank again our friends, James and Tyne.
No offense to lions.
No offense to lions. Would you like to say thank you to James and
Tyne? Thank you. Thank you, James and Tyne.
And Tyne.
Tyne.
I think that's how we say it. Anyway.
Sorry.
Anyway, that is all we have for the chimera. If you guys have some suggestions for monsters, we have a monsters, cryptids, mysteries, cursed things, whatever. We kind of cover everything now. But if you have one, let us know. We have a very long list of incredible suggestions. So if you have not heard your suggestion yet, does not mean we forgot about you. We just luckily have a very long list, which is so nice. But we're always looking to add to it.
And we're also on a very big schedule.
Sure.
We are.
Also, I would like to put a link in the description box because we now have our merch on two different websites. So Bonfire, where it's always been, which is what we've been using. But now we have it over on TeePublic. And the difference basically is that TeePublic offers different types of merch too. So there's all t-shirts, like there always has been on Bonfire, but on TeePublic, you can also get stickers, buttons, magnets, like tote bags, like a bunch of different stuff. Hey, so it's just a new opportunity.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Hey, can I see the new merch?
Yeah, I'll show it to you.
Okay.
All right. Well, that is all we have for you. Thank you for listening. I am Karina.
I'm Killian.
And this has been the Cryptid Catalog.
Until next time.
Remember,
the cryptids
are watching.